now with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved. Here is Dr. James Houck.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Friday, wherever you are in the world at this time. And also a hearty welcome to the show, Reclaiming Authenticity, finding your courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. Very excited to be with you here today and every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time, and elsewhere, anywhere you are in between. Well, each and every week, these broadcasts focus on the integration of spirituality and our mental health, and it's all placed within the context of relationships because, after all, we are social creatures, and it doesn't matter where we go or what we do, we cannot get around relationships. And I also place relationships in like a greater context of with ourselves and others, with God or the divine. And this is where the integration of spirituality and our mental health come in. Because whenever we think about it this way, it's unfortunate that we often receive our deepest physical and emotional, psychological, even spiritual wounds in relationships, and that might want to cause us to run away from relationships or think we're not worthy of healthier relationships and so forth. But yet the irony in all this is that we can discover our greatest healing, our greatest source of strength, our peace, forgiveness, and love, and so forth, in and through healthier relationships. Which the relationships just might be within our own families, or these relationships just might be with our coworkers and our friends. But interestingly enough, we find that we can be in healthier relationships because of how we're transformed, how we see things differently. You know, and as a result, we also transform others by our presence and grace and understanding. But first and foremost, that the forgiveness, kindness, and compassion begins with how we treat ourselves. Because you know, I'm convinced, I see this practically every day, that whenever we're compassionate with ourselves, then we can be compassionate with others. And when we're compassionate with others, we are certainly more inclined to be compassionate with ourselves. And the same thing is true with forgiveness. When we are more forgiving with ourselves, we then can be more forgiving with others. And the more forgiving we are with others, then the more forgiving we can be with ourselves. And when we're able to live in gratitude with ourselves and just simply rest in who we are, we then discover how this opens our hearts to live and to see and to be in gratitude with others. And that is powerful in and of itself, very transformative. But to be in a state of gratitude, we often have to work through unforgiveness or bitterness or stubbornness or other things that just simply get in the way. So in other words, transformation, first and foremost, begins with us. I came across a wonderful quote by Carl Rogers, who's a psychiatrist. I believe he died in the early 80s, but he was the founder of person-centered therapy. And he once said that when another person is hurting, or if they're confused or troubled, or if they're anxious or alienated or terrified, or simply when he or she is just doubtful of their own self-worth, uncertain as to their identity, then he says, understanding is called for. The gentle and sensitive companionship of an empathic stance provides illumination and healing. And in such situations, deep understanding is, as he said, the most precious gift we can give to one another. Well, I'm Dr. James Houck, and if you would like more information about me or to leave me your comments about today's show, I invite you to visit the website. It's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. That's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity, all one word. And just in case you're not able to be with me the whole hour, you can always go back and listen to sections that you did not hear, or you can go back and listen again to previous broadcasts, because these shows are podcasted, and you can go back into the archives and you can listen to several. So if you would like to call in though and be part of today's show, or if you have a question or something, I invite you to call the toll-free line. That number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I want you to give me your insights or comments, questions or thoughts on today's subject, the Tao of Pooh. Yes, and I'm talking about Winnie the Pooh. So silly old bear, the Tao of Pooh. Okay. Well, for those of you new to the program, I'd like to say welcome aboard, first of all. But something that I'm quite known for, because I wholeheartedly believe this, that all of us, we come into the world already equipped with everything that we need. Our gifts, our talents, our skills, our strengths, our personality, character traits, and so forth. Everything that we need in this life. Yet, as I mentioned just a little while ago, that sometimes we go through life and or due to some unpleasant experiences or circumstances, we may feel like we need to hide our giftedness, or we want to shrink from our talents and our strengths, or because we've heard this so often from so many people, we think there's really nothing special to us. And so we just push all the very best parts of ourselves way, way down, and we simply don't bother looking for that uniqueness, that specialness to us. Okay, but at any rate, whenever we give in to those voices, whenever we think that there is nothing more to us, we often go through life functioning from that place of woundedness, or we function from a place of playing the victim or whatever, instead of a place of healing and wholeness and embracing our hachiatos, our uniqueness. So all in all, it means that we can live our very best, the best of who we are. So let's begin today with a simple question. How do we do this? And exactly what does this have to do with Winnie the Pooh, let alone Taoism? Okay, well, that's a good question. So come back with me and let's return to the 100-acre woods and let's learn from this very simplistic bear, shall we? Now, any of you fans out there in internet radio land ever read the books in Winnie the Pooh, in the Winnie the Pooh series? If you haven't, I highly recommend them. You know, they're just simply classic, and they're not just for kids. You know, adults can find timeless wisdom in these stories. And, ironically, I'm sure many of us can identify with one or more of the characters in the Winnie the Pooh series. You know, because some of us might identify as Pooh Bear, where we're just like, okay, whatever, you know, it's going to go through life, no big deal. Okay. Or maybe we identify as Rabbit, who's always running around, hurrying, scurrying about, worried about every little detail, every little thing, and whether or not somebody's going to like it or dislike it or whatever the case might be. But we're just jumping around like a rabbit. And speaking of jumping around, how many of us out there identify with Tigger, who's always literally bouncing off the walls? Okay. You know, that's always a fun one. And I know in reading the stories to our kids, you know, Tigger was often their favorite just because he was just kind of like the crazy one of the bunch, just always bouncing from here to there. And it just seemed like have a good time. But anybody out there identify as Piglet, you know, whose favorite line was, well, you know, I'm a little animal in a small, you know, a little animal in a big, big world. And you can't expect too much from me because, well, I'm just a very, very small animal in a big world. And then there's Kanga and Roo, you know, the mother and child kangaroo. And then there's Christopher Robin, who is the one who, you know, just pretty much is the one who carries on the conversations with these animals. And then there's Owl, who pontificates every chance he gets because he's just filled with that knowledge. And you know, he often, you know, cannot be taught by anything because he has all the answers. Or lastly, what about Eeyore? You know, the one who's just like, oh, whatever. It probably won't work. No sense doing this because nothing ever good comes from that. You know, just somebody, just a total Debbie Downer, you know, just always, you know, is the pessimist in everything. Well, at any rate, Benjamin Hoff, who wrote The Tao of Pooh, T-A-O, but it's pronounced Tao like a D, frequently refers to Lao Tzu, the author of the oldest book on Taoism. And the whole philosophy of Taoism is believed to have originated with Lao Tzu from China, you know, somewhere between 604 to 517 BC. Okay, that's where they, you know, the historians place Lao Tzu, you know, the times in which he lived. And as the story goes, Lao Tzu was just deeply troubled. He was very saddened by the people of his day and their unwillingness to want to know the natural goodness that he often taught or you know, he encouraged. And people just were, you know, more like the Eeyores and just said, well, what's the point? Why do we need to do this? You know, there's just no goodness to be found in the world. And Lao Tzu, in the Tao Te Ching, was just, and I'll paraphrase all this, was just saying, look, all you need to do is just open your eyes, look around, and just learn from the natural order of things. You know, a river flows in one direction. Just sit by it and let it speak to you. Or just follow the signs in nature as you know, the grass grows and how things quickly, you know, spring up in the months of spring and, you know, the heat of the summer and the bees are gathering honey and so on and so forth. And you know, the sunny days and then the cloudy days and then the rainy days and so forth. And, you know, he pretty much, he didn't coin this phrase, but he pretty much lived his life by, you know, like, look, everybody just needs to calm down because we're making too big a deal of trying to find happiness, peace, and joy. He said, relax. The sun will come out tomorrow. We don't have to do anything. It'll simply come out. So why do we force things when just the natural order of everything is to, you know, it'll unfold in its time? Okay, so just eventually his writings just became the foundation of Taoism. And it's an ancient Chinese philosophy that really focuses on the natural order of the universe as a guide for living. And it's often known as the way. And in Taoism, there are no preconceived notions about how life should be and no manipulation of the world to force it into what you want it to be or how you want it to happen. Okay. Well, let's think about it this way too. You know, in our everyday world, people often rationalize, you know, their cleverness to explain or justify their behavior rather than paying attention to the ebb and flow of the power that lies within everything, especially what lies within each and every one of us. You know, there's just a natural order to us physically and emotionally, psychologically, even spiritually. And as a result, we can find contentment and joy and peace in living simplistically. So, in other words, you know, we can approach life from a particular way of just simply appreciating and learning from and working with whatever happens in everyday life. You know, and from the Taoist point of view, the natural result of this harmonious way of living is this happiness and peace and joy. But the more Lao Tzu preached this and the more he taught on this, a lot of people are just saying, that's too hard. And he's like, you're making it too hard here. You know, you're trying to force it. Don't overthink it. Okay? Because according to Lao Tzu, the more humanity interfered with the natural balance, you know, that is produced and governed by, you know, these universal laws, let's say like gravity, the further away the harmony often would retreat into the distance. And the more we try to force things in our lives, the more frustration and suffering and discontent we often bring upon ourselves. And this is something that you've heard me say, excuse me here, let me take a drink. This is something that you've often heard me say about self-inflicted wounds. You know, like how many times we bring on, you know, problems on ourselves because we're either overthinking it or we don't realize the natural order to things, where we all live in a kind of echo, where whatever we send out and we send out to others is going to come back to us. Much in the same way that we send out a voice into a cave or like a hollow place. It's going to, you know, reverberate and bounce back to us. Now, the same thing with that, the energy that we send out is going to come back to us the same way. Okay. And again, that's just the natural order of things. So if we're looking for peace and contentment or healing and grace and strength and love, how are we treating ourselves and how are we treating one another? Because if we're sending out that love and that peace and contentment and that joy and that happiness, it's going to return. It will return to us. Maybe not in the way in which we expect it, but then again, there we go. You know, our expectations will get in the way. But we send that out simply because it is the right thing to do. And sooner or later, it will come back to us in that harmonious way in which, you know, nature intended it. So let's look at the Tao of Pu here. And it is based on Taoist principles. And I guarantee you that, you know, we're never going to be able to either watch the Winnie the Pooh series or read one of the Winnie the Pooh books without thinking of Taoism. It's just, you know, it's so laden in, you know, and you know, in the pages. And once we understand what's going on and how these stories are put together and little details and so forth, we're going to be seeing, you know, Taoist philosophies all throughout. And perhaps that's what, you know, these characters in, you know, the 100-acre forest of Winnie the Pooh were designed to teach us all along. Okay. Well, the Taoist principle of Pu, or Pu as it is translated into this image of an uncarved block of wood. Okay, now don't go Charlie Brown on me here and just thinking, well, Charlie Brown was often referred to as by Lucy as a blockhead. Not the same thing, okay? But just stay with this image of an uncarved block of wood, okay? And it just means that things in their original state carry their own natural power, okay? Like, say, the trees, okay? In their natural state, they have just a beauty and so forth. And, you know, but whenever we manipulate that thing or we carve that block of wood, we don't realize that we might be shaping it in a way that is going to ruin the natural state of that. And hey, I'm right there with you. I'm the first one to admire, you know, just somebody who can take wood and turn it into a beautiful table or beautiful furniture, or something else, a hutch, or you know, whatever you can do with wood, you know, carving spoons and so forth. But you know, but Taoism calls us to then, you know, look back and consider the fact that in its original state, the wooden spoon was a tree branch. And it had that natural order to it, except we take it and now we use it in order to eat something from a bowl, or to stir something in a bowl, or to sit at a table that's made out of wood and so forth. But it always calls us back to an original state of, you know, we're not just looking at a table, but can we see the original tree there in the table? And there's a lesson for each and every one of us. Like, we look at ourselves and we just realize, like, do we truly see ourselves? You know, do we just, are we content to just look at the outside, the external? Or are we able to see more within ourselves? And in fact, can we see the potential in ourselves? Can we see that potential to then go inside of ourselves and discover the very best of ourselves? And for that matter, are we simply content just to look at the externals of another person? Or can we look deep within them and see their potential? See the fact that, you know, they may have gifts that they have yet to discover. You know, the very best of themselves, the beauty and the grace and the gifts and the skills and the so forth. Everything that they brought into the world, just like everything we have brought into this world. So, Winnie the Pooh in this, you know, the Tao of Pooh is this embodiment of an uncarved block of wood, because he is very simple-minded. So, you know, and he doesn't think too much about what life means or how to change the world to suit his desires. He just simply exists in the world and takes life for what it is. I mean, we just read those stories and it's just like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, maybe it's this way. And, you know, just, and as we're reading his stories, it was just like, no, you have to think it through. And he's just like, well, that's not his way. Okay. Well, the way of Pooh, or the Pooh way, is the translation of the Taoist Wu way, which means following our inner nature and following a rhythm of life. You know, we often live our lives through circadian rhythms, and we don't have to do anything with the circadian rhythms. It's just recognizing them that, you know, we don't have to tell ourselves to eat. You know, it's like when we get hungry, we're going to eat. And we don't have to tell ourselves, like, okay, every day you have to sleep. No, we're going to get tired. We're going to fall asleep. That's part of the natural circadian rhythms. And the same way with the, you know, the seasons that change and the animals that hibernate, or the animals or the birds that fly south for the winter. Nobody has to tell them to do it. It's just, that's a circadian rhythm that's going to occur over and over and over again. And the more in tune we are with these circadian rhythms and we don't fight against them, the more, you know, peace and joy and happiness we're going to find. So, you know, here we go with Winnie the Pooh, you know, and this Wu way, you know, of following our inner nature and the rhythm of life. But Wu way can also be understood as lack of action or no action, which means that, you know, we don't have to attempt to struggle or work against this natural flow of the universe. It's like, you know, can we align ourselves with the circadian rhythms instead of trying to manipulate them or fight against them, but just allow things to be as they are, as they are found in nature, and so forth. Well, again, it was Carl Rogers who once said that, you know, he says, the curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. And people are just as wonderful as sunsets if you let them be. And when I look at a sunset, I don't find myself saying, well, now soften the orange a bit on the right-hand corner. because I don't try to control a sunset. Okay, interesting. He says, when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. And that was his approach, you know, with person-centered therapy. You know, he would always encourage people to accept themselves for who they are. And then when they do that, when they rest in that, opportunities for change can occur. But you're not fighting against it. You're allowing the change to come up. So Wu Wei is often similar to, like, say, water that just flows down a stream or a creek or a river. You know, the water moves over and around rocks and other obstacles without resistance. It's just, you know, you can't stop it unless you dam up the river, okay, or dam up the creek. It just, water will go, you know, around and so forth. And just like, you know, the characters of Winnie the Pooh that are playing Pooh Sticks, you know, this was something that our kids, we always played with them. It was just a fun, very fun, simple game. But Pooh Sticks, if you recall in the stories, where you would stand on a bridge and, you know, over a creek or a river, and you would drop your sticks into the river. And then, you know, you would quickly run to the other side to see whose sticks would float by first. Okay. But whenever we live with this Wu Wei, we're, you know, you're placing a round peg in a round hole. Okay. You're not trying to force the round peg in a square hole. You know, and in a sense, we rest in the fact that there are no mistakes, because nature just doesn't make mistakes. Nature has been around, you know, since the dawn of time. And but whenever we engage with the simplicity of life as it's intended to be, we find that peace. We find that grace. We find that joy within ourselves. Well, in other areas of the, you know, Winnie the Pooh and the 100-acre forest, 100-acre woods, I should say, is this wonderful song called Cottleston Pie. You know, now bear with me as I try to sing a few lines here. It says, you know, a fly can't bird and a bird can't fly. Okay. Or, you know, another line is, a fish can't whistle and neither can I. Cottlestone, Cottlestone, Cottlestone Pie. Okay, well, that's very Taoist, you know, in its simplicity, because, you know, Benjamin Hoff, he really pulls out this song and he just says, look, this song means that you shouldn't try to force that square peg in a round hole or a round peg in a square hole, you know, because you're going to be ignoring and fighting against the reality that things are as they are. Okay, and so Hoff also brings out this concept in the Tao of Pooh as also it's wisdom to know our limitations. You know, nothing wrong with not being able to whistle, because, well, can fish whistle? No. And if I can't whistle, then all right, no big deal. That's just something I can't do. Okay, you know, but there's lots of things, you know, that we try to force ourselves to do, but we're just simply not designed for. And so instead of wishing and lamenting and saying, well, I could have, I should have, I would have, it's just like, it was not in the cards. It was not my destiny. It was just not something that God wanted me to do. So, okay, there are plenty of other things I can do. In my abilities and so forth, okay? So no two people are the same either. You know, everybody and everything has its own inner nature. And, I mean, the first thing we need to do is just be aware of and trust our own inner nature, not to lose sight of that. You know, there is, as I said, potential in everybody to recognize their uniqueness, this hachayatas, and learn to walk with these gifts. And to learn to walk in gratitude with the very best parts of ourselves and ourselves in general as we live out in the world. Okay. Well, another way to look at the Wu Wei is also to use the image of a feather. Okay. This is really a cool part, because, you know, the word poo or puh is like blowing a feather that's come down close to you. You know, this thing just kind of like float in front of us and you just go, puh. Okay. And we blow the feather away with a gentle puff. And then the feather is then carried away by wind to some other place or space. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, you'll remember the key object was a white feather. It just showed up at random. It showed up at random at the beginning of the movie, and it showed up at random at the end of the movie. And that was no accident. Okay. And it's also no accident that Forrest Gump's favorite book, which his mother read to him, was Curious George, who exemplified a monkey who takes us through various adventures where we discover that adventures are just around the corner. So let's be open. Let's be curious to what's coming our way, and let's learn. And if you've seen the movie, Forrest Gump lived a simple life. Just kind of went with the flow of things. Okay, but there's one part, toward the end of the movie, and if you haven't seen it, I will not spoil it for you, okay? But there's one part in the movie where he's just kind of in a reflection kind of mode, and he says, "Now, I don't know if Mama was right or if it was Lieutenant Dan. I don't know if each of us have a destiny or if we're all just floating around accidental-like on a breeze, like a feather. But I think maybe it's both. Maybe it's both happening at the same time." Okay, and that was that's pretty deep for Forrest Gump. Okay, so it's like sometimes we get a glimpse of that's my destiny. Another time we're just okay, I guess I was just in the right place at the right time this time. Okay, so along with the other quote that's famous for Forrest Gump, my mama always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That's true. So what you get, okay, it's still chocolate, so you can eat it, all right? It's the surprise. It's the wonder. It's the sense of acceptance, just going with it. Well, others who espouse Taoism have also said that humanity has become separated from this reality of the natural world by just an over-reliance on just extravagant trivia and knowledge and cleverness. And, just we look down through history and we've had some great, great minds that, that just have taught much with their wisdom and insight, but often lack compassion and human skills as well. It's almost as if they didn't have the time to learn from somebody else or learn what's really important in terms of, relationships. Okay. Well, I would really love to hear your heart on these matters. So I invite you to call in and let's talk about the Tao of Pooh. Share your thoughts, share your comments and observations. So if you'd like to call in, that number is 888-627-6008. And I'll be taking your calls after a short break. And again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. And I'm your host, Dr. James Houck. And I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Welcome back. I'm Dr. James Houck, and you're listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. just a word, quick word about next week's show. I entitled it, You're Getting Soft, Emotional Intelligence. And so we're going to look at soft skills. Nah, I'm not making fun of anybody, you know, during the days of COVID when people are stuck inside and can't get to the gym or anything. And because I'm right there with you. I've gotten a little soft myself, so to speak. But I'm talking about soft skills and from the emotional intelligence from Gottman. And, you know, these are the interpersonal skills and how we treat one another and just basic decency and understanding and openness and teachability. Because we often see in the workforce today where more and more employers are looking for these soft skills in employees. In fact, I had somebody I was talking to probably about last month or so, a little over a month ago, that he employs people in his work. And he goes, look, I can teach anybody a hard skill. Or, you know, like how to run a machine or a computer program or to make change or whatever. But I can't teach them what are the soft skills or these non-technical skills that relate to how these people work. You know, and you know, he says that these things, you know, are just simply how to interact with your colleagues or how to solve problems or how you manage your work. You know, or your strong work ethic. He says all those things have to be cultivated within. And I said, you know what? You are absolutely right. So tune in next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and noon Pacific Standard Time for the Wisdom of Emotional Intelligence. Well, earlier in the broadcast, we were talking about the Tao of Pooh. And if you've never read, Winnie the Pooh and the 100 Acre Woods and the other stories that are in there, highly recommend it that you put it on your list of books to read this spring or this summer, because it is just, you know, again, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, these stories are not just for children, but there's also this profound wisdom that us adults can find as well if we are open and teachable and if we are paying attention, because most of us can identify with one of the characters in Winnie the Pooh, whether it be Pooh Bear himself or Rabbit or Tigger or Piglet, or Kanga and Roo, or Christopher Robin, or Eeyore, or Owl. Okay, we could probably see ourselves in one of them. And once we see ourselves in one of them, the next thing to do is to pay attention to what they're saying to us. And where do we find our frustrations? Where do we find that uneasiness in us? Because perhaps we are trying too hard to make things happen. Instead of just, I wouldn't say necessarily just sitting back and just waiting for everything to come to us, but, you know, we do what we need to do, but we don't force it to the point where it has to work out in my way, on my timetable, according to my definitions, and so forth. And, I mean, this is true, as I'm fond of placing everything back within relationships. This is often true in our relationship with God or the divine, the universe. I mean, how many of us pray, but then we just simply leave it in God's hands, so to speak? You know, how many of us say, well, okay, I like this to happen, or I like that to happen, or I feel this is on my heart because you've placed it on my heart, so this is how, you know, I like it done, or so forth, this is what I need, and, you know, we're just not content because maybe God and God's wisdom just has other ways of answering that prayer for us. You know, not necessarily giving us what we want, but definitely giving us what we need at the time. And it's often through hindsight that we see the faithfulness of God. But a lot of us want God to be who we want God to be for us. And so we often want to fit God into that little box and say, okay, God, this is my understanding of you, so therefore you stay right there, where it's the other way around. It's like, I don't want to be in this box, so God, take me out of the box and allow me to see you for who you are. Allow me to surrender. Allow me to go with the flow. Allow me to listen carefully to what you have placed upon my heart, and allow me to hear the cries of others, and allow me to get in touch with all those things that you have gifted and graced me with, and so on, and so on, and so on. Okay? So, you know, for those who espouse Taoism, really are just cautious to remind the rest of us that, you know, how humanity has often become separated from this reality of the natural world, and how times we just fight against it. But nature just has so much to teach us, you know, just the sun will come up again tomorrow kind of thing. Okay. And, you know, those who, you know, live successfully, if you want to use that word, you know, or I should say those who find wisdom and happiness, they'll be the ones who are capable of listening to this inner nature of theirs, you know, and being sensitive to the circumstances around them and following the natural order of life. And it wouldn't hurt from time to time to pick up the Tao of Pooh and just be reminded of this. Because if we truly want to be wise and content, we have to see the world through a kind of inquisitive and objective mind of a child in order to find the right path to follow, instead of saying, well, I'm not going to do anything until you show it to me. But a lot of times we need to take that first step. So that childlike faith, or remaining in a state and a place of openness or teachability, being open to learn from everyone and all things. Okay? That, Lao Tzu also commented on this. He says, you know, to attain knowledge, add things every day, but to attain wisdom, remove things every day. Okay? Well, the basics of Taoism, you know, that we're concerned with here is just simply a particular way of appreciating and learning from and working with whatever happens in everyday life. And from the Taoist point of view, the natural result of this harmonious way of living is happiness. It's joy. It's peace. It's this contentment. And as I said earlier in the show, Benjamin Hoff, who wrote the book of, the Tao of Pooh, he wrote this book, and he frequently refers to Lao Tzu, who is the author of the oldest book on Taoism, the Tao Te Ching. And, you know, Hoff just promotes the belief that, according to Lao Tzu, the more humanity interfered with a natural balance that's produced and governed by the universal laws, the further away the harmony, as he's put it, retreated into the distance. You know, the more forcing of something, the more trouble. And, you know, for those of us today, we might understand this as, well, maybe we need to work smarter and not harder. And this Taoist principle of poo or puh is translated into this uncarved block, meaning that the things in their original state carry this natural power. But when you manipulate that thing, or we start to carve the block, we often lose sight of that. Okay? So Pooh is the embodiment. You know, Winnie the Pooh is the embodiment of this uncarved block, because he just lives very simplistically. You know, and he doesn't think too much about what life means or how to change the world to suit his desires. He just exists in the world and takes life for what it is. And as long as he has his jars of honey, he's a happy little pudgy bear. Okay, that's one thing for sure. So let's take this a little bit deeper, shall we? And let's look at an application of, like, how in the world, you know, for us being here in the 21st century, how in the world do we live out this wisdom that's contained in the Tao of Pooh? All right, well, let's begin by just asking ourselves just two important questions. You know, the first one is, do we really want to be happy? And do we really want to find that everlasting joy in or through everyday life? I mean, do we really want to be happy in this life? Or do we really want to be miserable? Okay. Well, the answer to these questions often begins with just being appreciative of who we are and what we have. Or we're going to be discontented. But are we content with who we are and what we have? Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't challenge ourselves to improve and so forth, but if we're fighting against the nature of something, well, then, you know, that's another issue, okay? But if we are able to tap into our authentic selves and appreciate us for who we are and what we have, we will find that happiness. We will find that joy. We will find that peace. We will find that contentment. And I like elsewhere that Lao Tzu also wrote regarding this. He says that a tree as big around as you can reach starts with a small seed, and therefore a 1,000-mile journey starts with one step. You know, wisdom, happiness, courage are not waiting somewhere out there beyond our sight at the end of a straight line, but rather they're part of this continuous cycle that begins here and now. You know, they're not only the end, but they're at the beginning and everywhere in between. So if we find ourselves in kind of like a spirit of discontentment now, we can do something about it, but we have to realize it takes courage to take that one step. But then to live in a manner of surrendering as things unfold and just simply walk therein. Okay. And Benjamin Hoff, he picks up on this theme, and he writes that within each of us, there is an owl, and there's also a rabbit, there is an Eeyore, and there's a Pooh. And for too long, he says, many people have chosen the way of owl and rabbit. You know, where owl is, you know, just one who is unteachable because he or she believes that they have attained all the knowledge that they need for this life. And so they go around and pontificate every chance that they get. And they just want people, you know, like, well, just listen to what I have learned. Now, I'm the first one, being a teacher, to also say it's important to impart knowledge. That is true. That is true. But are you imparting knowledge that hasn't been lived out, that hasn't been tempered by wisdom, that hasn't been tempered by experience? Okay, are you still in that the teachable way in your life to be open to whatever comes your way and so forth, and to learn from everything? You know, and it just goes way beyond, you know, where you can teach an old dog new tricks, you know. But, you know, we need to be open. We need to be willing to learn and see a lesson in everything, even very painful experiences in our lives. What is it that I need to learn? What do I need to hear? What have I been resisting in listening to? Or whatever it might be, depending on the circumstance or the situation, okay? And then Hoff also says, look, you know, let's take a look at Rabbit, okay? One who's always running around, always worried that he doesn't have enough of this or that, or that some disaster is just around the corner, so we got to prepare. And, we definitely live in a post-9/11 world. And, yes, we need to be prepared by all means, but are we kept up at night worrying whether or not it's going to be enough? Are we going from relationship to relationship and from relationship to another relationship worried that, well, this person doesn't have what I need, so therefore I'm going to go get it from somebody else, instead of living in a place of contentment and peace, and instead of looking at relationships of what can I get from this person, but instead, what can I give this person? And again, that calls us to look within for these answers. Or, you know, are we like Eeyore, always a gloomy Gus or a Debbie Downer as we complain about everything? Okay. But if we're smart, you know, we're going to choose the way of poo or puh, calling us to live simplistically, always teachable and exquisite, you know, like having a child's mind or that childlike faith and amazement. Okay. So let's be open. And allow the natural order of things to teach us not to fight against everything. Let's allow ourselves to learn from, from nature as one day follows another and one season flows into the next season. Let's just go with the flow, as in the game of poo sticks. Okay, instead of worried about, well, what do I need to do to make sure my stick is showing up first? And the Bible also has many verses of letting go of intentions and expectations and outcomes and allowing God to determine. You know, growing up, my mother always used to say, you know, well, I have complete peace of mind about this or complete peace of mind about that. It used to drive me crazy as a kid. I mean, she wouldn't be shaken by anything. You know, she'd have this kind of like, you know, crazy look in her eye, and she'd look off in the distance and say, well, you know, I just got complete peace of mind about this. And it's like, okay, Mom, you know, you want to get upset a little bit? You want to drop a curse word maybe or so? But she never would. You know, she just had that unshakable faith. And that's something that I have really come to admire about her as I got older. And then now it's something that I always look for, that whenever I have a decision to make or, you know, wherever I am in life, I always look for the peace. Well, Chang Tzu once told a parable that really illustrates the fact that we just simply don't know what is coming next. And so, he says the futility of trying to figure out, like, you know, what is the lesson or whatever, and just trying to force something. We just simply just don't know. So let's just be in the moment and allow it to unfold and go from there. So he once told a story about a farmer and his horse that illustrates the humility of just a wise person when tempted to pass, you know, these value judgments on situations like we can easily get caught up doing. He says, once upon a time, there was a poor Chinese farmer who owned a small piece of land and a very beautiful, strong white horse. Now, his neighbors were jealous of him, as rich people from all over the country who passed by his village and saw his horse offered to buy it for large amounts of money. And this farmer always refused to sell his horse because, well, he was really attached to it, and he just couldn't bear to part with it. Well, one day, the emperor, with just an enormous army, happened to camp near the village. And when the emperor saw this horse, he instantly fell in love with it and immediately sent his people, his soldiers, to offer the farmer whatever he wanted for that horse, spare no expense. And all his neighbors started saying to this farmer, "Wow, how lucky are you? The emperor wants to buy your horse." But the farmer replied, "Well, who knows?" Well, when the farmer refused to sell his beloved horse, all his neighbors said, "What are you, crazy? What have you done? Now the emperor will take that horse by force and punish you. This will bring all the bad luck to you and your family." Well, but the farmer calmly replied, "Well, who knows?" Now, the very next day, the horse went missing, so the neighbors assumed that the emperor's people had stolen it. "What bad luck," they said to the farmer. "You didn't want to sell the horse to the emperor, and now look, he took it, and you are left with nothing." Well, once again, the farmer just very calmly replied, "Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Who knows?" Well, the following day, the horse came running back and brought 7 strong wild horses along with it. Now, the neighbors gathered around the farmer and expressed their delight. You are so lucky. This is just wonderful. How fortunate. You were right not to sell your horse. Look, now you have 8 beautiful, strong horses instead of just one. Well, the farmer relaxed and very calmly shrugged his shoulders, and he said, well, fortunate or unfortunate, who knows? Well, the farmer's son, who helped his elderly father with the work on the farm, started taming the wild horses right away. But a mare threw him over, and as a result, he fell hard onto the ground, and he broke his right leg. And due to this accident, the son would remain bedridden for months and would be unable to help his father with the farm. Now, the neighbors gathered around again, and they were quick to say to this farmer, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. Such bad luck. Well, the farmer, who was helping his son with his injury, just replied very softly, good luck or bad luck, who can say? Who knows? Well, a few weeks later, war broke out, and the army came to the village and forced all the able-bodied men to join the military and fight the invaders. The farmer's son, due to his broken leg, was left at home with his father. And the neighbors, who were devastated that their sons were sent off to the front and not knowing whether or not they would see them again, said to the farmer, how lucky are you? Your son is safe. But again, the farmer replied, good luck or bad luck, how do we know? Yeah. How do we know? It's very easy to live a simplistic life. It's also very difficult if we fight against it. If we force outcomes, or we place a judgment or a value on a present circumstances, we just simply do not know what something might mean. We just have that limited insight. We don't see, the grand scheme of things. But who knows? Maybe things will work out for the better. Maybe things won't. We don't know. Who knows? Well, I'm Dr. James Houck, and you have been listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. Again, I highly recommend that you read the book, The Tao of Poo. You will be tremendously delighted with the way Benjamin Hoff points out that Taoism all through these stories of Winnie the Pooh and the 100 Acre Woods. And so until next week, and just ask that everybody please be safe out there. Please search for the peace and contentment and joy in your life. And as always, behave yourselves. Take care and God bless.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific time on PBS Radio TV.